Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. A bunch of good shepherds. Not the good shepherd, but a bunch of good shepherds. Why? Because you'll see. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. After the whole thing happened where, you know, the decree went out and the world should be registered and the census happened and all that good stuff, and Joseph and Mary left Nazareth and went out into Bethlehem, and then all of a sudden they found that there was no room for them in the inn, and they had the baby, and that baby was Jesus. Then we get to chapter 2, verse 8. And it reads, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." Which, just want to note to you, if anybody here has ever visited the Holy Land, they know if it was December, wintertime, which December is wintertime in the Holy Land, shepherds wouldn't be out in the fields at night sleeping in the open. Which means most likely December 25th isn't the birthday of Jesus. So, just a little note for you. Most likely it's sometime in the spring or summer time. Just a note for you. "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God and all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was as it was told them." All right. Now, I hope the most important thing you heard was not that little side note that I shared about the shepherds sleeping out in the open. That's very insignificant. Doesn't matter what day Jesus was born on, because the main important thing is that he was born. And how amazing it must have been for these angels to see the Creator become a creation. Imagine these angels that had been with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for eons to see the Creator become a creation, a creature. And just sit there and look at this little, helpless, defenseless creature. Man, as a baby, the most helpless of all the creatures God created. Not able to stand up on his own right after birth. Not able to fend for himself, not even any type of camouflage to hide. Dependent from the very first breath on his mother to not only wrap him to warm him, but to feed him, could not find his way to suckle on his own, like other animals are able to. Not to say that man is an animal, but just think, God created us different. Why? Because he always intended us to have that nurturing, loving relationship from birth. It was instilled in us from birth that we would always be dependent on another for a nurturing, loving relationship with our mother and, yes, with our father. Now, these angels, they appear to these shepherds who are sleeping. And this phrase in verse 10, "Fear not," or "do not be afraid," is a theme throughout all of the beginnings of Luke, and through all of Luke, actually. Don't be afraid. Fear not. There's no reason to be afraid of this thing that is coming. This Messiah, this new chapter in God's salvation for man. There's nothing to be afraid of. Sure, it's new. Sure, it's different. Sure, it's strange. But it's nothing to be scared of. Actually, it's something to embrace. Starts out back in the beginning of Luke. Fear not. When John's birth is announced to Zacharias, the angel comes to him and he says, "Don't be troubled," or "do not be afraid." When the angels come to Mary and to Joseph both, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. This thing is something new. This thing is something different." It wasn't necessarily their appearance that they were saying, "Don't be afraid of." It was also the story, the message that they had to say. "Don't be afraid of what I have to say to you." It goes deeper than just the appearance, the boom, "Here I am. Don't be afraid of me." No. "Don't be afraid of what I have to say to you. Have contentment in your heart for the message I have to deliver to you. Because what I have to say to you could shake you up. And it could scare you. But be content. Don't be afraid. Zacharias, your wife, who is way beyond years, is going to have a baby. And he is going to be the last of the Old Testament prophets, hailing in the new age of God's salvation for men. Mary, little Mary, you are special among women. God has chosen you for a special purpose. I don't like the sound of that. You are going to become pregnant with the Son of God. How can that be? I haven't been with a man. The son you will have will be the seed of God. Period. Conceived of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid. Joseph, don't be afraid to take this woman who will show all signs of being pregnant before you are married. And though she will look as an outcast in your community, don't be afraid to stand beside her till the end, knowing that you will, in essence, even be an outcast. Because the son she carries will make a difference in the world that no other person has ever made, because it is not just a mere man she carries, it is the Son of God. Now, on to the birth and the shepherds. Don't be afraid. This message, I tell you, is going to shake you up. You guys aren't used to receiving news like this. Because you, after all, are just humble shepherds. You aren't even seen as really reliable people in public. But yet, because God's message is to all people, I want it to come to you because you are the salt of the earth. You are the people's people. And I want you, because you know how to get into places other people don't know how to get into. Because you are a wily bunch. Always have, always will be. Nothing against that. You know how to get into places, and you will do things, and you will hear me much better than the scribes and Pharisees will. Even though they're trying to hear me, you will hear me clearer than them because you don't have certain things marring your judgment and clouding your judgment, such as years and years of schooling. So, don't be afraid of the message I give you. Do you notice in verse 12 the sign that the shepherds had? There will be a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. That's it. They didn't have a star to follow. The star came later, a year or two later, when the wise men from the east came as a beacon to them. It wasn't a star shining over the manger in Bethlehem. It was a star shining over the house in Bethlehem where Mary and Joseph took residence at. So, here are shepherds. Can you imagine how many feed troughs there were in Bethlehem? How many different stables there were to look through? They get this message and they say, all right, guys, let's get up, let's go, search every feed trough and every stable that stinks of manure right now in the middle of the night. Who's with me? Every one of them. And you know, they might have all went together, but being as smart as they were, they probably split up and said, you know what? You go this way, you go that way, you go this way, and we'll all meet back here in about a half hour and report back on what you saw. And then we'll divide up again, and if we don't find them then we'll divide up again, then we'll divide up again. And as soon as they found them, they all went together. But could you imagine the one who found them saying, you know what? I got to go back and meet my buddies now, if that's the way they did it. Just an idea. But it also could follow with the way Scripture reads. Because it says, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. And they came with haste, and they found the babe, and then they went and they saw and they told everybody, but then the shepherds all came back glorifying and praising together. So one of them went and said, hey, we found it. And then they went all and they went and told everybody they could and gathered up a big crowd. And they all went and saw this baby, all who believed them. Or just the shepherds went back. I don't know. Scripture doesn't say. It's not clear there. The one thing is clear, though, is the message that they were to herald is that this baby, this Christ child, was the bringer of God's glory in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now see, that message struck a chord with them. You see, since 27 B.C., they had been under a Pax Romana, the Roman peace, which means by occupation and by presence of force, there was no war, but under Roman occupation, there was an air of peace because there was no war. But occupation, as we all know, is not necessarily the best thing for the natives of the land. They are under a iron fist. They are under rules that they do not like because they are forced to live by someone else's standards who lives far away. And they have usually a puppet king set up who is sympathetic to the government of afar, which was the case here. And so you end up having people who are living under a false sense of peace. This is good for us. We have somebody who can keep the peace. Nobody will threaten us. No longer will we have the foreign occupiers come and take us over and exile us because we have the Roman fist guarding over us. We have peace. No, we don't. We have somebody who has just taken us over and just hasn't exiled us. They've just taken our land and allowed us to live here under their rules. So, this peace that God was promising was, in their words, as you've heard me tell it before, shalom. It was glory to God in the highest and on earth, shalom, goodwill toward men. God's peace. A peace that would endure forever. A peace that would come and would sustain and would endure forever. Would not be a peace made of man's rules and regulations. It would be a peace governed by God. And that's another thing that the shepherds didn't necessarily see, is this whole political thing, but they might have, some of them, because we saw some of the disciples even had the same problem as seeing this as a political kingdom, a political reign that the Messiah would bring. The main point here is that these shepherds heard the message and they went. They went and spread the news. They left their livelihood in the hills. It says they all went. Right here. Let us go now to Bethlehem and see. And then the shepherds return. It infers that they all went. They didn't pick somebody to stay behind and guard the sheep. They left their sheep unattended in the fields and said, this is bigger than anything. This is bigger than our sheep. Our sheep will, if this truly is the angel of the Lord telling us to go and do this, God will watch over our sheep. The good shepherd will look out for our sheep. And we will go do what we are told to do. And I reasoned to say that when they got back to the fields after they were done doing what they did, every single one of their sheep were there. They were willing to, just as much as the disciples were when Jesus called them, they were willing to drop everything and go and do. How many of us, myself included, have that kind of dedication and devotion when we know God is calling us to do something? To say, I'm going to go and do. God's telling me to do this. I'm going to go and do it instead of going, well, you know, first let me get this in order. First let me do this. First let me do that. and then I'll go and do them. First, I got to get this in order. First, I got to do that. Well, just as much as the rich young ruler said, well, what do I have to do? And Jesus said, well, come follow me. And he said, well, no, let me go say goodbye to this and that and this and that. And Jesus said, basically, you know where your first love is. It's not me. These shepherds had their first love, and apparently it was God, and God knew that. And that's why he sent the angel to them. A bunch of probably rough around the edges, dirty, probably hadn't bathed in a while, shepherds who had to search high and low through all of Bethlehem to find one little baby lying in a feed trough. Talk about your scavenger hunts. I think they might have said, come on, angel, can't you give us a little more to go on than just this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger? Can't you, like, at least tell us the street address or at least give us a cross street or something? No. That was good enough for them. And how many times do we say, you know what, I don't have enough information to go. Let me wait until it's a little clearer. And then I'll go. I'm praying, I'm waiting for clarity. When the Holy Spirit gives me clarity, then I'll go. How clear is a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger? Not very clear to me, but yet they went. Are we willing to go? Even when things don't seem clear. Just because we know God is asking us to go. I pray we will all get to that point someday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Most of all, we thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Now help us to understand better what you expect of each one of us, where you ask us each to go, and the impact that we can have in the lives of those around us. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.